I love it when good things happen. We were expecting a colonel. We got a general.
Colonel's there, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Nothing wrong with being a colonel, but it's good to be a general.
Yes, it's very good to be a general.
It is.
And busy in these times.
Oh, my God. And we wanted an update from the New Hampshire National Guard, and it is our pleasure to welcome the Adjutant General of the New Hampshire National Guard, David Michaelides. Morning, General.
Hey, thank you. Good morning, Peter and Pat. How are you all doing today?
Great.
You? We're doing just fine.
No disrespect.
We're doing well.
I want to say good morning to the Colonel Greg Heilshorn as well. Good morning, Colonel.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good to have you with us. The National Guard, every once in a while, we hear that the Guard's involved with the COVID-19 pandemic, but it's not a big lead story. General, what is the involvement when we see the Guard around? What are they doing?
You know, Peter, it's interesting. I've seen the last course of about 2 to 3 weeks, and as you know, and the public knows that, you know, this thing changes daily. You know, it started like a sort of a benign response where we allowed the City of Manchester public health officials to use our Manchester Armory, the parking lot, for drive-in, drive-out COVID testing. And from there, it's turned into, I think yesterday we have 137 soldiers and airmen supporting miscellaneous mission sets for the COVID here. There's about a half dozen big missions. It started that sort of like a sort of quiet behind the scenes, just parking lot. And it's turned into, you know, we always support other people. We are not the lead state entity or agency.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first one was with the Department of Health and Human Services. You know, they took the lead. They identify the requirements, and then we just help them execute the mission because we bring in the extra capacity of our planners and organizational skills. So the biggest one you probably heard a lot about, Peter and Pat, was those alternate surge facilities.
Right, right.
14 days, 14 facilities stood up with bed capacity for over 1,600 beds. That increased the hospital bed capacity in the state of New Hampshire from about 3,700 to like a little over 5,100, or like 3,500 to 5,100. So that was probably our major sort of muscle movement. In conjunction with that, we are now contracting for hotels, for quarantine sites, for primarily first responders who can't go home if they test positive or they have to be in self-isolation.
Wow.
We're finding about, I think, we're up to about over 100 first responders throughout the state are either in self-isolation or pending tests or have tested positive. You know, so that's another initiative we're helping the Department of Health and Human Services with. You know, we're also running the warehouse distribution for the National Strategic Stockpile. So when each state gets their sort of surge of equipment of, you know, the PPE, the personal protective equipment,
right.
You know, it came to our aviation facility, and we are manning that. And so, you know, my analogy, Peter, would be it's almost like an Amazon shipment of, you know, filling orders and distributing out throughout the states to either hospitals, police departments, whatever municipality who needs that sort of surgical gowns, face shields, gloves, those respiratory masks, whatever is needed, that equipment we get shipped to us. We're organizing it and distributing it throughout the state. Another mission we're doing is actually cyber support for our State Emergency Operations Center. And that's just to make sure that, you know, during times like this, that our internet domain stays up and running and it stays protected from any malicious actors.
Wow.
And probably the last mission you probably heard about was just recently, there's two new missions. I think last Thursday we stood up 20 airmen to support New Hampshire Employment Security running a call center. Because as you can only imagine, I think the amount of unemployment claims per day or the number of calls they're receiving exceeds over 5,000 per day. And so that system's overwhelmed, and again, we bring just, you know, bodies and, you know, trained bodies who can go over there, get a little bit of on-the-job training, and then just seamlessly work and helping them with their call center. And then just this week on Monday, we now find ourselves supporting the New Hampshire Food Bank. receiving and distributing food throughout the state of New Hampshire for those in need.
Now, General, this is not just that unit known as the Civil Support Team. I mean, this is across the Army Air Guard spectrum, right?
Oh, yes. So we've taken soldiers and airmen from probably every unit, majority of the units we have in the state. It is beyond the sort of normal that Civil Support Team capacity what they do.
Okay. Because I think the CST is one that a lot of people may be familiar with. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to explain that it's more than just that one elements of that one unit.
Yes, correct. So, we make out a call. We put out a call, and we said, for each mission, we try to identify either the unit or the people with the appropriate skill sets. One of the things I'd like to make sure that people know, too, is, we have a lot of first responders in our force. Always remember that of the 3,000 strong of which we represent, about 2,800 in uniform, the other 200 are civilian employees here. We have a good 75% of our force is part-time, but we are making sure we do not take first responders. So if I'm a police officer or a healthcare provider in a municipality and I happen to be in the guard in a week and a month, we've made a concerted effort to not rob Peter to pay Paul and to not touch those capabilities.
So how do you do this, General? I mean, there isn't a pandemic playbook that you follow, is there? I mean, how do you avoid being just reactive but be proactive?
Peter, I think what has helped us is probably two things. One is probably unbeknownst to a lot of people, but we almost have like a domestic operations branch. So whether it's a vigilant guard cyber exercise or an annual training event, we have a lot of muscle memory and small-scale incidents. And then you're right, when you get a pandemic like this, which is pretty much what unheard of within our generation, I think I heard someone say you have to go back to, 1958 when the influenza came. Mm-hmm. What's helping us is the lessons learned from the West Coast. So when we sit in national conference calls and you hear what's going on in the other states, and, we're sort of lagging behind them, but you can get lessons learned from, what happened in Washington State. And so for us, it's a lot of sort of, half of it is, we have that, sort of bedrock planning and organizational expertise, and then it's just sort of adjusting to this new sort of pandemic.
Boy, it's a good thing this happened after you've had a little time under your belt as adjutant general. It would have been tough to be hit with this right after you took over.
Yeah. You bring up a good point. I've been fortunate to be in the job for about 2.5 years now. But I would honestly say, Peter and Pat, it's a testament to our soldiers and airmen.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of volunteers that we have had, it's our core business, right? When you look at our mission triad and what we try to do in the state, when we call it secure the homeland, it's save lives and mitigate human suffering. And it's been amazing that the amount of people, our guardsmen, but the women, men and women, the next generation who've called and say, hey, pick me. I want to volunteer. I want to help.
Well, and we've talked about this, and I've had the privilege of talking about this for years, that the men and women of the Guard, I mean, it's your neighbors, it's your kids' coach, it's somebody you work on the line with at work or whatever. I mean, these are our neighbors. These are New Hampshire folks. They're not some isolated unit that comes in to restore calm. They're part of us.
Oh, yes. And the interesting thing, Peter, when you say that is, as a community-based organization, our soldiers and airmen have the same issues that everyone else is having out
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, their kids aren't in school either.
Sure.
They might be caring for an elderly parent. They have to maintain that self-isolation. So the challenge for us is, and it went to the Secretary of Defense. We essentially issued guidance where, you preserve the force, make sure you preserve and take care of your soldiers, airmen, and their families in the community. The second thing is, the challenge for us is maintaining our readiness. We still have 86 soldiers and airmen deployed throughout the globe, Iraq, Afghanistan, and throughout the Middle East.
Right.
So, that hasn't changed. And so it becomes a balancing act of, making sure the people overseas, you know, we don't forget about them. We have other units that are going to go out the door in the next fiscal year. And so, you know, we have to sustain, you know, our sort of readiness standards in this era of a great power competition. But, you know, we're comfortable we can handle both, and we have enough people and the capacity to do both.
Well, once again, General, you've given New Hampshire a reason to be proud of the Guard, the Air Guard and the Army Guard. And I get really annoyed when I hear people going, see the Guard? It's government takeover.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, this whole conspiracy.
People,
stop dragging the Guard in down that road into your little twisted fantasy. They are us, so I don't want to hear about it. You're doing a great job. We're all proud of you. Thank you.
No, thanks, Peter, and thanks for bringing that up because you know, yes, when we're overseas, we're typically the lead agency when we fight and win our nation's wars. But when it's domestic operations, we are just here to help and support others.
Yeah.
And, you know, it, like the alternate care facilities, these hospitals, you know, we support Health and Human Services.
Mm-hmm.
They're the lead state department. It's not us. It's them. And we just support them. You know, the same thing with cyber. We support the State Emergency Operations Center. You know, it's a whole of government approach where other departments just say, hey, look, you know, here's a requirement that we can't fulfill. Can you fill this capability gap? And we look at our assets that we have and we say, sure.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with the warehouse distribution. You know, we run military warehouses.
Sure.
That's within our portfolio. So to take a half dozen soldiers to run the National Strategic Stockpile for the state of New Hampshire, it's easy. It's a no-brainer for us.
And I'm sorry, if I'm a state agency and I get 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 soldiers walking in uniform, I'm telling you, that to me instills confidence and a sense of calm.
You know, I would agree. And, you know, when you look at it, too, like, you know, even employment security, there's a need. And what I would think is, you know, have we ever monitored a call center? No. But I would think that the values of compassion and empathy of which our airmen represent to serve others would pass any interview test to help the people who are calling and, you know, filing for unemployment every day.
Good point. So, they said this is going to be a bad week for us. Do you have anything else in the pipeline that you're ready to, or are you just waiting to have the state ask you for more help?
So we have a couple things in the pipeline. The one thing we have sort of a be prepared mission, what we call it, is if these alternate care facilities do come to fruition and are needed to be used, we will help the local municipalities and hospitals run them.
Mm-hmm.
We call it sort of like a town mayor, like a planning cell.
Sure.
So if those come to fruition, you know, we have planned, that's one of our core missions that we're going to support the state on. You know, another mission we're thinking of or considering is, and it would just be training right now. It's, again, it's like being prepared, is, you know, law enforcement. You know, what a lot of the public may not know is, but we have the second largest law enforcement department in the state of New Hampshire.
Wow.
The first being New Hampshire State Police.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when we look at our Army National Guard Military Police and our Air National Guard Security Forces, you know, we have almost a little over 200. And, we, you know, what our intent is again, is to support Department of Safety. You know, how do you preserve your premier law enforcement agency, which is state police? And what we're considering doing is putting our military police and our security forces through, like, a week of training in conjunction with the Police Standards and Training Academy, and get them trained in the event they need to do, say, static security of an alternate care facility or other things that we can support state police, so state police can then go forward and support municipalities. So, again, it's something we're considering.
Nice.
We're taking the planning steps right now to do it. That does not mean you'll see people on this every street corner of every city. It is nothing.
Right.
As you alluded to earlier, has nothing to do with that.
Yep.
It's, we would support state police in some of their mission sets so they can go do other things.
And the 237th Military Police Company, great reputation, have deployed, and I know some of the individuals in it. Awesome, awesome crew.
Yep, no, they are. They're a great unit. They would be the one that that would be our primary Army National Guard unit that we would task. And like I said, to include our Air National Guard security forces at the Pease Air Guard base.
Yep. Before we let you go, General, we sincerely appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Hang on. You know what? I've got a, one quick listener comment.
Okay.
All right, Don in Concord, go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. I'll take this opportunity, General and Colonel, to thank you for everything that you have done, and I'll report to duty if you'll take it.
Okay. Don, you're over 65, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just saying.
We do appreciate
But we appreciate the spirit.
Well, we're here to back you up. And again, thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Don.
Don.
And General and Colonel.
Thank you so much.
That is a Korean War veteran.
Yeah.
No, thank you. Tell them thank you very much. We appreciate his support.
Yeah.
And always remember, we're still hiring, Peter.
Hey.
Just throwing that in there.
Yeah, but you're going to make me shave my beard, General. You know, come on. I did want to ask, you talked about units deployed. I'd be remiss if I didn't check in on the 238th. How are they doing?
They're doing well. So, as you know, we have our medevac unit in Iraq right now and some of the surrounding countries in the Middle East. And we also have a fixed-wing aviation unit that's in Afghanistan. In addition to that, we also have about a half dozen soldiers and airmen with miscellaneous units throughout the Middle East as well. The units are doing well. They, I think, hit their halfway point. They're both on nine-month deployments. I think they're at about month four right now, four and a half. We did have one soldier, I think you're aware, he's at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center, Iranian rocket attack at Al Asad Air Base about a month or two ago.
Yes.
We had soldiers on that base. You know, fortunately, there's no fatalities, but we had one unfortunately get injured with concussion-like symptoms, and he was evacuated to Walter Reed in Maryland. I was fortunate enough to go visit him before this sort of clampdown on travel, and I called him about a week ago. He's a true American hero, a 28-year-old Army captain, pilot, and saved his soldiers, and he should be commended for serving his country.
That's awesome.
Excellent. Excellent. Is he rehabbing well?
He's rehabbing extremely well, and we are hopeful that he will come home and rehab up here in New Hampshire, hopefully within the next month or so.
Excellent.
That's great.
Excellent. Keep us posted. Well, you've got a lot of things on your plate right now, and depending on, as you said, the pandemic keeps taking turns like a Tom Clancy novel. Keeps turning left and right and up and down, and I'm sure your resources will be utilized by various state agencies. And again, David, we sincerely thank you for being the Guard and what you do. And I've tried to bring faces and voices of the Guard to the radio for years to let people know who these men and women are and what they do. And we're going to keep on doing it. So as things change, just know that you are the Colonel. You always have a microphone here.
Absolutely.
No, thank you so much, and thank you for your support. We appreciate it.
Happy to do it. Thank you, General. Colonel, great talking to you. We'll do it again soon.
He's the strong silent
type. Yeah, he's the strong silent type, but I didn't want to let Greg go without saying goodbye. So thank you, Colonel.
General Whisperer.
All right.
Stay well, gentlemen.
Take care. All right. Take care. And
see
you again.
Thank
see
you.
Ya. Thank you. Awesome. Adjutant General, the New Hampshire National Guard, David Michaelides, and with the Public Affairs Detachment. He's the PAO for the Guard. Lieutenant Colonel Greg Heilshorn, two great individuals that I've had the pleasure of interacting with for a whole bunch of years.
And they totally, we totally have their back.
Great. And totally have so now I got David going, we're still hiring.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, it's okay.
Oh, no, okay, fine. So I'm going to, I'd do it. You know, drop 20 pounds, lose the beard, get a haircut. And yeah. They could whip me into shape.
It would take big whips.
Well, yeah, probably. 8:49 is the time. We'll take a break. Back with more.